Now stay tuned for the Sunday morning wake-up call on 94.7 WPVC-LP Charlottesville. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Now here's your host, Rick Moore.
All right, so here we go. That's me, Rick Moore, here on Sunday morning wake-up call, wandering in off the street on a nice winter Sunday. We are going to do the show today. Our guest, Dave Norris, Equity and Progress in Charlottesville. Epic. That's what we're going to be talking about today. Status quo is not good enough. www.epicseville.org.
We've got, you know, drug laws that are ending up ruining lives for really trivial purposes. We've got a school system that's not working as well as it could be, particularly for low-income kids and children of color. We've got challenges with open and responsive and accountable government. Just across the board, these are not new issues, but our group, EPIC, Equity and Progress in Charlottesville, feels that we just don't do enough right now as a community and our local government to address these longstanding challenges. And none of them are easy to solve, but we need to make them a higher priority. And that's why Holly Edwards, our former vice mayor, and a lot of people came together last fall, Jeff Fogel and others, and also a lot of the sort of alumni of the Bernie Sanders campaign who were motivated and mobilized and wanted to get more involved on the local level. So a group of folks started meeting last fall to talk about how do we harness the resources of our community and local government and otherwise to address these unmet needs in our community. And that is what is now morphed into what we know as EPIC.
Again, our guest today, Dave Norris from Equity and Progress in Charlottesville, EPIC. We are going to be talking to Dave throughout the hour. He is our guest. We could take phone calls if you'd like. What is the phone number here? I have no idea sometime. 284-9470. I always have to look at the screen. You know, when everybody keeps their old numbers, they have to remember, is it 804-757-521? You can't keep up with people anymore.
Kids these days, right?
I know, kids these days.
Get off my lawn.
Get off my lawn. Again, but the phone number here, 434-284-9470. Dave Norris here from EPIC. Dave, did EPIC come about because of the new president?
No, it's actually EPIC was born in a more innocent time, Rick, when we thought we'd all be celebrating our first female president at this point. Again, it was last summer and fall that Holly and Jeff and some others started meeting and pulling people together to talk about how some of these issues just weren't getting the attention they needed. And I won't lie, like the presidential election of last year did directly contribute to what we now know as EPIC, in that there was a large group of individuals, some of whom had never been involved in politics before, but got really mobilized and motivated particularly by the Sanders campaign. And in the fall, by the Democratic campaign, the Clinton-Cain ticket. And what we're seeing now, as a result of all that energy from last year and a result of the deep disappointment in the outcome of that election, is a number of groups that have sort of popped up in our community, not just in the city, but in the county and throughout the state and throughout the country, people that are really mobilized and energized, and which is awesome to see. So EPIC has... is trying to tap into that energy with a very specific focus on this year's elections in the city of Charlottesville. We're not trying to be a group that's solving all the problems of the world all at once. We have a very specific focus. There's nine races on the ballot this year in the city of Charlottesville. That includes two city council seats, three school board seats, a Commonwealth's attorney race, which is going to be a very prominent race, and then a few other constitutional officers, which probably won't go unchallenged, and they're all doing a great job. So, Epic is tapping into this political energy that's out there now, and we had our first public forum a couple weeks ago on the third floor of the downtown library. You know, we thought we might get a few dozen people there, and there was well over 100 people in the room. I mean, it was standing room only. The room was packed. A lot of faces that we'd never seen before. Again, one good thing, maybe the only good thing that came out of the election last year, the presidential election, was that there's a lot of people who are now fired up and want to make a difference. And through Epic, we're giving them a way to make a difference in their own community. You know, I always say, back even when I was in office and just whenever I talk to people about politics, I always make the point that the decisions that are made in your local government chambers, your city council chamber, your board of supervisors chamber, whatever, you know, your local government body is, the decisions that are made in those rooms oftentimes have a lot more impact on people's day-to-day lives than the decisions that are made in the White House or Congress or the State House. When you think about the fact, you know, schools are primarily locally administered, heavily locally funded, our, you know, the business districts are locally regulated, our sidewalks, our parks, our playgrounds, our, you know, so much of our day-to-day lives, our housing, you know, inspections, our taxes, so much of what impacts us directly, and growth and development, all these things are decided at the local level. And we want to encourage more people, you know, accordingly, to pay attention to what's happening at the local level and get behind some progressive candidates who are not going to just sort of nibble around the status quo, but are going to push bold reforms to address these longtime challenges here in our community.
Again, Dave Norris from the group EPIC, Equity and Progress in Charlottesville, here on Sunday Morning Wake Up Call today, 11:09. Thanks for being with us here on WPVC 94.7. One of the EPIC quotes is, "You demand better of our elected officials." Are there specific folks that Epic all is unhappy with?
No, I mean, it's not personal about any sitting counselor or school board member. This isn't about trying to isolate any one individual. This is about a system that's not working for the people. And yet,
Donald Trump said that.
Yeah. And Donald Trump is taking us exactly in the wrong direction. I think
so. He turned left.
He turned right.
Right, turned right.
Who knows what direction he's going in?
Right,
whatever.
Yeah, he's
in the direction of whatever serves him and his diabolical advisors. But yeah. So, but yes, people, again, we've got so many families that are struggling for lack of living wage jobs, for lack of affordable housing, for lack of a school system that really does everything it can to help every child realize their highest potential. This is not an indictment of any one individual. It's an indictment of the status quo. And, you know, Charlottesville in many ways is a great place to live. For people of means, this is a wonderful community. But the reality is that many of the people that do the hard work of making the city function, and many of our elderly and disabled and low-income families and homeless individuals, aren't realizing the blessings of, or aren't experiencing the blessings of Charlottesville the way that many of the rest of us do. And so, we just want those concerns to have more of a focus when it comes to local decision making. And we want to give citizens more of a role and a say in local decision making. This is a key part of the platform as well, is about promoting citizen participation in the decisions that affect their lives.
My wife and I were talking just this morning about the length of time that it takes to find a home, not to purchase a home,
right.
But the length of time that it takes to look ahead to rent a home. It's amazing how constrictive it has become in the city and the county because of so many reasons. You mentioned the means that it takes to live here.
Mm-hmm.
that being a key part of any time, of any place you want to live, you have to be able to afford it.
Right.
But the to live in this area, if you want to live somewhere, and I had my Jim Duncan and Matt on here just a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
But it costs money. It costs more if you want to live here, and certainly you have to include how far you want to drive and for your job and your fun. But all those things, you can't find something in a few weeks.
That's right.
And if there are things that you have to account for, then you have to add time onto that. Decisions that must be made, whether they're family decisions or work decisions, and now you have to add a few weeks onto that.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't start those things. Is it now you have to add a month or 2 months or 4 months or 6 months? And that's all difficult. And not everybody has that length of time to look forward.
Right.
And now if you're talking about the city of Charlottesville, and now if you want to make it Albemarle County, and now if you need more time so that you have to expand the number of places to look for, and so now that you go to, is it the seven counties that becomes TJHC?
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing. And so here we are talking about Epic. Is that just Charlottesville? Is that Charlottesville,
question,
Albemarle?
Yeah, so right now we're focused on the city of Charlottesville, but the elections that are happening this year. And really our core mission for now is to recruit and support candidates for these nine open seats, or these nine seats that are on the ballot this year in the city of Charlottesville. However, it may evolve from there, you know, and there's already been input from the public we received about, you know, expanding to include Albemarle County, potentially looking beyond this year's elections and thinking ahead to ensuing elections. So, you know, these issues are not isolated to the city, as you've correctly pointed out, Rick, is that, you know, the challenges of affordable housing cut across our region. It gets a little easier the further out you go. You know, you get down to Buckingham County or go to, over to Waynesboro or to find affordable housing, for instance. But then you're adding the cost of the gas and the commuting time and the strain on the family and the family budget. And so it's not an ideal solution. Epic has, you know, in the process of coming together as a group, we have a steering committee of a couple dozen people, about half of whom, or maybe 40% of whom, have run for office in the past or served in office. The others are just citizen activists and people that are interested in, you know, interested in seeing positive change happen in the community. This group came together over the last 6 months and decided, you know, we're really going to do our best to find some good candidates, support good candidates for these races. But then it begged the question, what is the prism, if you will, through which we will decide which candidates to put our backing to endorse? And that's how we came up with this platform, which folks can find at our website, which is epicseville.org, EPICCVILLE.org. You can see the whole platform there. And the platform is a statement of broad principles. It doesn't get into the weeds about how to do any of these things, but it's a statement of goals about where we want to take our community. And getting to the point about affordable housing, we're not satisfied with the status quo. I think in the last several years, the city of Charlottesville has seen about 70 new affordable housing units constructed, and meanwhile, well over 1,000 higher-income housing units constructed. So there's growth happening, but it's not equitable growth. So, for instance, one of the items in our platform is that we want to increase the supply of quality affordable housing for low-income, working, poor, elderly, disabled, and homeless residents by building at least 1,000 new units of such housing throughout the city. And it's not going to happen overnight. We know that. But we want to see candidates step up and propose bold solutions for accomplishing these kinds of goals. We want to smash the school-to-prison pipeline. We want to end mass incarceration, at least how it's applied locally. We want to build affordable housing. We want to create jobs that are going to help low-income residents move up the ladder into the middle class. We want to promote mindful growth in our community. We want to promote citizen participation. It's all laid out in the platform. I hope people will take a look and know that this is the tool that we'll be using to decide which candidates will get the endorsement of Epic. And hopefully then we'll get elected and make some change.
Excuse me again, our guest today, Dave Norris, representing the EPIC organization, Equity and Progress in Charlottesville. Dave, is this a political action committee?
That's a great question. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but yeah, that's a great question.
A PAC?
I didn't know if there was a part B to that question. It is not a PAC. A PAC is basically a group of folks that come around to raise money for candidates or for political parties. And we sort of stopped short of becoming a PAC. Really, our goal is going to be once we've we've created this tool for deciding how to which candidates to endorse. If they're in alignment with the platform, then chances are they're more likely to get our endorsement. And then what we're going to do is when we make our endorsement, we're still working on the mechanics of how that endorsement process is going to work. But once we make our endorsement, then we're going to encourage all the people that have been involved in our steering committee, all the people that are attending our public forums, all the people in the broader Charlottesville community to get involved in those individual candidates' campaigns and donate money directly to those candidates and donate their time directly to those candidates. So it's cutting out the middleman. PACs are notorious for, bundling contributions and it's created this huge industry of political money in this country. We want to, part of our goal with EPIC is to reduce the impact of the toxic impact of money in politics. So we're about promoting individual candidates, and it's not necessarily Democrats. I mean, I think we've never asked, but I would guess that a majority of the people on our steering committee probably lean Democratic. But we have some people, for instance, Brandon Collins, who's on the steering committee, who's run for office as a socialist and as an independent. Peter Kleeman is on our steering committee. He's also run for office as an independent. So they don't necessarily all identify as Democrats, but I'm guessing probably the majority of them do. But we deliberately did not form as a caucus of the Charlottesville Democratic Party. We wanted to give ourselves the liberty. So if there's a candidate that steps forward for a particular office that's in alignment with our platform, is a strong candidate, may not be running as a Democrat, it's hypothetically possible that we could endorse them, or even if they run as a Republican, it's hypothetically possible we could endorse them. So
what I heard there was the plan is not to donate money. The plan is to identify those you would support and point the finger as we like them. So if you wish to donate your own money,
please do.
Donate it there.
And perhaps more importantly, donate your time and your energy and get involved in volunteering for those campaigns. And, it's people power that tends to win local elections. Money does play an increasing role in local elections. But
It did in the last one, definitely.
But
the money went up a lot in the last Charlottesville City Council election.
And that was very worrisome to a lot of people because traditionally, when I ran for office, I only had to raise a few thousand dollars, and the first time I ran, when I ran for the nomination, I didn't accept a single contribution over $100. I didn't want anybody to think that, they could write me a big check and then somehow have claim to my vote. So the amount of people that vote, particularly in like Democratic primary elections, which in the city of Charlotte. So, I mean, let's be honest, that tends to be the election. Whoever wins the Democratic nomination tends to do well in the general election in November. But participation in those Democratic primary elections is not tens of thousands of people. It's a few thousand people. And if you have an army of 200 highly motivated volunteers that have come through EPIC that are donating their time and energy behind a certain set of candidates, and making phone calls and going door to door and talking to their neighbors and talking to their friends and putting out on social media, that can make a huge, huge impact. And part of this is part of the role for EPIC here, and the reason for EPIC is it's intimidating to run for office. And for people who aren't politically savvy or haven't been attending city council meetings or Democratic Party meetings for months or years, but just everyday citizens who have something to offer, who have experience, who have good skills, it's intimidating to run for office. And so with EPIC, we've got a whole group of people that are willing to invest our time and energy in their campaigns, which hopefully will reassure them that, they have more of a chance. And I'm entirely optimistic that some, if not all, of the candidates we ultimately endorse will succeed. I mean, Bernie Sanders won Charlottesville last year in the Democratic primary. The entire, well, I won't say the entire, but most of the Charlottesville Democratic establishment, if you will, lined up behind Hillary Clinton in the primary. Bernie Sanders won Charlottesville. And that sent a real, you know, I think a strong signal that Charlottesville is not a community that's interested in nibbling around the edges of the status quo, as I've been saying, but really interested in bold progressive reform.
11:22 here on the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call. Our guest today, Dave Norris, here representing Equity and Progress in Charlottesville. Epic. Status quo is not good enough. Be right back. All right, back in action with Dave Norris. Dave, you were talking about how the Democratic Party, pretty much, if you win the Democratic Party in Charlottesville, you tend to win, get on city council, and how Epic will be helping. And you also said that it's local is really all about who can help. It's about people, not always about money.
Right.
So
money helps. But
if I follow along, then it seems as though whoever Epic picks will end up on city council.
Well, that's obviously our hope. But there's going to be a number of candidates running, and they'll all have something to offer, and they'll all have their own bases and their own volunteers and their own donors. And so it'll be a spirited race. And I certainly hope it won't end up being, personal and you know, like, for instance, Jeff Fogel, who was one of the founders of Epic, who is not a formal member of our steering committee now because he is running for office now. So, but Jeff is running for a Commonwealth's attorney. Epic hasn't endorsed any candidates yet in any of these races. But if Jeff were to receive the endorsement of Epic, it's not because people in Epic think poorly of his opponent, Joe Platania. It's because we love Jeff. I mean, Jeff is somebody who is going to turn the criminal justice system on its head. He will do his utmost to protect our community against people that need to be incarcerated. But for people who, are charged with simple possession of marijuana, people who are charged with offenses that
he's come out at, he has come out and said, panhandling, let's not waste money in the court system.
Right. And there's a lot of crime that happens or criminal activity that happens that's that has its roots in mental illness and substance abuse. Our prisons, our state prisons are the largest mental health facilities in Virginia, or the state prison system. And and Jeff's one of his, one of the things that really motivates him is there's some people that belong in a mental health program or a substance abuse program that's going to do a whole lot more for them and for society than locking them up in jail where their problems, or prison where their problems, are not going to be addressed. That's one example of how we need to reform the criminal justice system. But it's not, again, it's not about going negative about his opponent. It's about looking at what's wrong with the system and how is it not serving the interest of the taxpayers, of the people, engaged in the system in some form or fashion, and making the change that needs to be made. And that's going to be, so I assume that'll be the mentality across the board, whether it's a city council race, school board races, Commonwealth attorney. It's about identifying what's wrong with the system and proposing bold solutions.
Is there a deadline for when, I'm assuming that there's a deadline for when the candidates must come up.
That's correct.
Is there a deadline for Epic? Has Epic set a deadline for when you will step forward as an organization and identify who Epic will point fingers
endorse
these candidates?
Yes. We're still working on the exact dates, but it's all going to happen very quickly here in the next couple of months, because in order to participate, in order to run in the Democratic primary, which will be in June, candidates have to file, I believe it's sometime in March. I don't have the exact date in front of me, which means, you know, you're going to have a campaign season, a primary campaign season of basically 3 months, you know, between mid-March and mid, you know, mid-June. So it's all going to happen very quickly. We are having a forum. Epic is having another forum on the 27th, which is a Monday, at 6 p.m. in the downtown library, third floor of the downtown library in Charlottesville. And this one is really focused on kind of a you know, local government 101. You know, what are the different offices? Who's responsible for what? Whether it's city council or boards of commissions or school board or, you know, what is the structure of local government, and how do elections work? And then we're going to do a couple of breakouts, one for people that might be interested in running this year, and really do a deep dive into what are the opportunities, what are the races, what's the dynamics, who are the incumbents, who are the other candidates running. And then another, probably a much larger breakout for, you know, what are opportunities for getting involved in supporting good candidates? So there's so many different ways that people can volunteer to make an impact in local elections. And that's everything from, you know, writing letters to the editor, to holding meet and greets for candidates, to volunteering to do door knocking or phone calling for candidates, or, you know, social media outreach. There's lots of ways that everyday individuals can make a difference in local elections. And so we're going to have an information session for people on that. So following on that, we're going to do another forum a couple weeks later, talking about citizen activism and different ways that people get involved outside of the election process to make a difference. But in mid-March, that's the one I really want people to focus on is, I want people to focus on all of them. But in mid-March, we're going to be doing our own candidate forum or candidate forums. And we're still deciding the mechanics of it, where we're going to invite any candidate that's running for office, whether it's school board, city council, Commonwealth attorney. It'll probably be a couple different forums, depending on the race, to talk about their priorities, how their priorities, if their priorities align with our platform. You know, what are aspects of our platform that they may agree with, may disagree with. And following on those forums, then we will have a vote of the Epic membership. Again, we're working through the mechanics of how that's going to work to decide which candidates to endorse. And following on that, it'll be a sprint, you know. So I'm assuming by late March, we'll have candidates the Epic has officially endorsed for these races. And then it's a race to the finish line, which is that for those who are running in the Democratic primary, at least, if they're running as independents, they don't have to go through a primary process. They just have to get a certain number of signatures on a petition, and then they'll be on the ballot in November. But for those who are running as Democrats that have been endorsed by Epic, it's going to be a big push between late March and middle of June, whenever that primary date is, to get them the nomination.
Again, our guest today, Dave Norris, representing Epic, the Equity and Progress in Charlottesville organization. You can find them at epicciville.org, epicciville.org, 11:30 here at Sunday Morning Wake Up Call. Dave, you mentioned the platform. Let's talk about that. The three core tenets of the platform.
Mm-hmm.
Fire away.
Yeah, so there's sort of 10 overarching or 10 sort of outcomes we're looking for, everything from improved economic and employment opportunities to elevating the quality of our schools and the academic achievement of all students, improving the quality of our democracy, improving social equity. There's 10 different planks, if you will, in the platform. They're grouped under three overarching tenets, as you say. One is economic opportunity and quality of life. Two is social and racial equity. And three is open, accountable government. And again, this platform was created through a consensus process of a couple dozen people that have served on our steering committee, very diverse group, people who, again, some of whom have been involved politically, some of whom are new to politics or have been involved in civic activism all came together to share ideas and come up with this platform. Again, it doesn't really get into the weeds of how to accomplish these things because we want to hear from the candidates. How would they propose, for instance, when we talk about building 1,000 new units of affordable housing, when we talk about eliminating disproportionate minority contact in the criminal justice system, when we talk about reducing the corrupting influence of special interest money in local politics. Like, we want to hear their best ideas for accomplishing goals like this so that we can determine which candidates we want to support.
When you have something like economic opportunity and quality of life, one of the first things that comes to my mind, and again, you have the platforms and then you have the planks, you know, and all I know about this stuff is from watching, you know, the presidential elections every year,
right?
For whoever I want to see talk or whoever I don't want to see talk. And it, you know, kind of with my ear turned or from having folks like you on every once in a while on the show. But what comes to mind is people who don't get paid enough. You know, we always talk about folks. We always talk about those folks who live in Charlottesville area and who can't afford to live in Charlottesville. And then I go a little further on the webpage, again, epicseville.org. And there's people who don't get paid family living wages.
Right.
Does that fall under on that platform?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We want to grow the base of jobs in our community that are paying sufficient wages so that people can afford to live in our community. And right now that's in many times not the case. And so, and it's not just, government jobs. We want to support employers who are offering the kinds of middle income jobs that historically were the best avenues out of poverty and into the middle class in this country and in this community. We've been hemorrhaging those jobs by the thousands here locally. We've done a very good job of growing our base of retail and service sector jobs, which tend to be lower paying, and we've done a good job of attracting kind of university level jobs and defense industry jobs and high tech jobs, which are very high paying. But the jobs in the middle, you know, those light manufacturing jobs, skilled trades jobs across the board, we've been losing them by the thousands locally. And that's not unique to Charlottesville. Obviously, it's something that was a major factor in Mr. Trump's election last November, was the fact that our middle class has been eroding. And I think while some of Trump's supporters may have correctly diagnosed the problem, I don't think their solutions are going to solve the problem. I think they'll probably take us in the wrong direction. But there is truth to the idea that we have eroded our middle class in this community, in this country. I remember when I first got into office, one of the most fascinating things I learned when I got into office is that one of the most articulate voices in the city for reducing the reducing economic inequality was Tim Longo, our police chief, who I met with him early in my time in office, and he said it was a grave concern to him that we were at the time, and we continue to become a city of the haves and the have-nots, and that when you lose your middle class, it creates a very imbalanced society, and it's not good for the health of your society, for your community, to have this imbalance, and to have to lose that the middle class, which is plays such a prominent role in so many ways in maintaining the health of your economy and the health of your society. Epic is very concerned about this issue as well. We want to see when we talk about economic development in the city and in the region, it's because the city has only so much vacant land for economic development. But when we talk about economic development, we want to bring those kinds of jobs back that are providing the type of wage that, for instance, the X factory in its heyday used to provide. The street I used to live on in Charlottesville for years was called Early Street over in Belmont. Early Street was all built around the same, or most of those houses were built around the same time as starter homes for workers at the X factory right around the corner. And you could get at that time a factory job even without having a college degree. You could come out of high school, get a decent paying factory job, earn enough money to be able to afford a mortgage on a starter home, be able to raise a family, in many cases be able to send your kids to college for the first generation college students, be able to retire with a decent pension. That's how we built the middle class in this country. And that's one of the great stories of, you know, how America became strong, was because we invested in those kinds of jobs. We created those kinds of jobs. And then when I say we, I don't mean just government. I mean our economy. But in recent decades and in recent years, we have deprioritized those jobs. We've sent them overseas. We sent them out of the city and in the region. And it's to our own detriment. And we need to refocus on building that base of skilled trades jobs and training people for those jobs so that we can help people climb the ladder out of poverty and into the middle class.
It's been a while, and I just pulled it up on Wikipedia, Civilpedia. It's been 5 years. Ridge Schuyler, mm-hmm. is that the proper pronunciation, yes. of his name?
Yep.
And you can pull it up quite easily, orange dot Charlottesville, and it's so easy to see.
Yeah.
He wrote the orange dot program, and it's, you can just look at it, and you talk about the have and have nots, and you right. can see green versus orange in the neighborhoods that are mostly wealthy, or at least wealthy enough to live in Charlottesville, versus the orange neighborhoods that struggle every day and do not bring home the family living wage.
Right.
And I'm assuming that the orange neighborhoods are the ones that your organization is talking about.
Right. Although it should be of concern to people in every neighborhood, whether it's in an orange zone or not. But because again, it goes to the health of our community, and the health of our society, the health of our schools across the board. You know, it's easy for politicians, or in my case, washed up ex-politicians, to talk about issues like.
Looked like you did have a bath this morning or a shower.
Right. So it's easy for us to talk about, you know, we got to bring our jobs back. We got to grow the middle class. These are easy talking points to make. What Ridge did was invaluable, because Ridge actually put numbers behind it. And he did a whole lot of research and did a lot of data crunching. And correctly, in my opinion, diagnosed not only the problem, but prescribed a solution, which is, in the case of the Orange Dot Project, which we specifically cite in our platform.
Didn't know that.
Yeah.
So it's just that his program is so easy to remember.
Right, right. But it's in our platform. And what Ridge's diagnosis was is part of it, at least, was, you know, our anchor institutions in the community, and most prominent among them being the University of Virginia, but you also consider Martha Jefferson Hospital, of course, UVA Hospital itself, all these, the defense industry, all these major economic engines in the Charlottesville area, all collectively procure hundreds of millions of dollars in goods and services every year for their employees, for their students, for what have you. And much of that activity is going out of our region. They're buying goods and services from beyond our region, from beyond our shores, so to speak. Ridge asked a simple question in the Orange Dot Project, which is, imagine what could we do if we just steered even a small portion of that economic activity back into our region, so that instead of buying, you know, thousands of loaves of bread. I don't know if that's a good example or not, because I don't know where UVA buys their loaves of bread. But let's say hypothetically UVA is buying loaves of bread for their dining halls from somewhere else in Virginia or somewhere beyond Virginia. Why not help local businesses form?
I'm sure that Aramark is not buying them
right.
from the neighborhood.
Right.
Next door.
Right, and they we need to figure out how we can create those kinds of products locally and provide those kind of goods and services locally and employ people locally, recycle more dollars locally, and help close that income gap for the benefit of our whole community.
11:42 here on Sunday Morning Wake Up Call with Dave Norris talking about EPIC, Equity and Progress in Charlottesville. Hang tight.
Because of the many hundreds of or thousands of students and community residents who stepped up and put pressure on UVA to do right by their employees. And, you know, you got an institution as wealthy as the University of Virginia should not be paying poverty wages. And so I'm, you know, pleased to see UVA eventually come around for their own employees. But you mentioned Aramark earlier. UVA still to this day is dragging its feet when it comes to contracted employees who provide a lot of the services at on grounds and at the hospital and elsewhere. And so that really needs more focus. But across the board, we want to see, again, we want to help create the kinds of jobs that are paying a living wage. We want to provide the training. When Dee Dee Smith was in office, Dee Dee was a wonderful city councilor and vice mayor, and she helped pioneer a new program called Go Charlottesville, Growing Opportunity in Charlottesville, which said, you know, the city itself creates, you know, the city has jobs. They have bus drivers. They have, you know, all kinds of jobs that the people that work for the city that make good wages, that make and that get good benefits. But whenever the city has openings for jobs, they often have a hard time filling some of these jobs with qualified candidates. So Dee Dee's idea was, well, let's go out and train people for the kinds of jobs where we know we're going to have openings, where we know we're going to be hiring people, so that when these vacancies do come up, we have trained candidates already in place who are city residents. So again, it's about recycling money locally. It's about helping our local families climb the ladder. And so another thing we call out in the platform is we really want to see that program taken to scale. It's right, it's still a very small program. But those are that's the kind of thinking we want to see, Rick, is we need to make our local families more of a priority, our low-income families more of a priority. And it's not about, like, handouts. It's not about spending an ungodly amount of taxpayer money. In fact, at the end of the day, a lot of these investments are actually going to save taxpayer money, because I would rather have somebody working full time, earning a decent wage, rather than being dependent on social services where, you know, it's costing taxpayers money. We want to, you know, promote economic sustainability, economic independence, and that's what a lot of these initiatives will do.
What about other university-related issues? We talked about you want to build, or the EPIC group would like to have 1,000.
At least 1,000. Yeah.
At least 1,000 units built. Mm-hmm. Well, part of that is gentrification, right?
Yeah,
and that's
yeah.
Because much of West Main Street is being taken over by student housing.
So gentrification is a major issue. It's a major concern to many of the people that got involved in EPIC to begin with. And you look at the fact that so much of the city is no longer affordable, that our longstanding working class neighborhoods and African American neighborhoods are under assault right now from all directions. And because in many ways they're sitting on prime real estate, you know, and so the forces that are at play are making it harder for longstanding residents to stay in the city. Another of Dee Dee's priorities as a city councilor was to invest in programs that are going to help longstanding residents and working class families be able to fix up their homes so that they can stay in decent housing here in the community. That's the kind of model we want to continue to grow on. Gentrification, there are pros and cons to it. It's not all bad. There are positive aspects of it. But when we talk about growth in the community, I love the little signs that I see around the little high neighborhood, which are all about mindful growth. You know, it's we know growth is coming. We want to see equitable growth. We want to see growth that's going to not going to negatively impact the quality of life of our neighborhoods. We want to see growth that's not going to displace our longstanding residents and our working class and African-American neighbors. We want to see all residents. We want to see, you know, Charlottesville. We want to see a city that really takes into account the needs and the assets that all of our residents have. You know, we talk about redeveloping our low income neighborhoods, our public housing neighborhoods. A lot of that housing stock does need to be renovated or rebuilt. But not in a way that's going to displace people, not in a way that's going to make it too expensive for the working class here in Charlottesville to stay in our community.
My understanding is that Wes Bellamy is a member of EPIC. I know that he's gotten a lot of negative news recently, or certainly in the last several months.
Mm-hmm.
Care to talk about that?
He's not a member of EPIC. I think he came to one of our press conferences, but no, he was not involved.
He's not a member?
No.
He's not on any of the boards?
No. Well, we only have one, but we have a steering committee.
Have a steering committee?
He's not on the steering committee. He did come to one of our events. It was a public event, and we were happy to have him there. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Let's go back. One of the issues, I guess, is this a plank? Create a green Charlottesville.
Yes. So I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, there's a lot of issues that are in this platform and we could spend an hour going through any one of them. But
well, it's 11:50, yeah. So we got 10 minutes.
So environmental issues are absolutely a priority for folks that are involved in the EPIC group. You know, we want to see enhanced public transportation, better bicycle and pedestrian amenities, you know, renewable energy.
How do you do that, by the way? Not to stop the green thing, but how do you expand bicycle transportation? I mean, the roads are already, roads are already kind of squeezed.
Right. They are, but when you're looking at either restriping the roads, repaving the roads, when you're looking at building new infrastructure, you have to think of the fact that roads are not just for automobiles, right? And so we have people that are getting around Charlottesville in many ways, whether it's on foot, whether it's on bike, whether it's in a bus, whether it's in a taxi, whether it's in a car. And we need to make sure that our infrastructure, our transportation infrastructure, accommodates all these uses in a safe way. And so if you have a bike lane that just stops at, you know, in the middle of nowhere, like the stripe ends and then you're having to like merge into traffic with a car, that's a problem. It makes bicycling unsafe. We have come a long way in the last decade on bicycle and pedestrian infrastructure, but there's a lot more we can do. We have a very active bicycling community in Charlottesville that has come forward with all kinds of suggestions for how we can make it safer for bicyclists, same for pedestrians, and we're confident we can do more. So.
All right. Since I interrupted you in the middle of the green Charlottesville.
Well, energy efficiency, you know, renewable energy. At our public forum, our first public forum a couple weeks ago, a gentleman stood up because part of what we did at that forum is like we presented our platform and said, what are we missing? And
if you go to the Seaville or Epic Seaville page,
right.
You can go.
Yeah.
There's a spot. What is the.
I think it's under the events tab, if I'm not mistaken. And you can see all the ideas that people offered up at that public forum.
Right. There's a way to get around, and you can see it. There's three different tabs.
Right.
You can see something that every person shouted out.
Right.
There's an idea.
Right, because we're about citizen participation. That doesn't necessarily mean that EPIC endorses all those specific ideas, but we wanted to capture them all and show the kind of thinking that you know, that people come up with. And one of the ideas that I loved was a gentleman stood up in one of the circles and said, you know, Charlottesville should declare itself we should set a goal of being 100% of having 100% of our local energy come from renewable sources by a certain date, whether that date is 10 years from now or 20 years from now, whatever it is. But if you set a very high and ambitious goal, then walking backwards from that date, figure out how do we get there. And that means investing locally in energy efficiency and renewable energy, but also playing a more active role on the statewide level. Obviously, we're not going to be building giant wind turbines in the city of Charlottesville.
But SCLC will be here in 2 weeks. We can ask them.
But playing a more active public policy role and advocating with our with Dominion and other energy providers to figure out how does a city like Charlottesville become 100% renewable energy city by a certain date. That's one example of a comment from an everyday citizen that I think reflects the kind of, I think it reflects the political temperament in Charlottesville. This is a city, again, I go back to the fact we voted for Bernie Sanders in the primary last year. This is a city that's very interested in seeing progressive change happen, not just through sort of like empty gestures, but through actual concrete change.
What do you do for those people who are sitting, and I guess because they weren't at the EPIC meeting, so for lack of a better phrase, sitting on the sidelines going, you're wasting your time with that. Why are we spending our money and time trying to get to be 100% renewable energy?
Because it's you want me to answer that?
Yes, I would.
Right now, job growth in the renewable sector is far outpacing job growth in the fossil fuel sector. So that's one, it creates jobs, sustainable jobs. So it's investing in this new green economy. The rest of the world is much of the world is way ahead of us in this regard. So we need to play catch up to a certain extent. I think Mr. Obama did a great deal to promote the renewable energy sector in our country. But there's a lot more we can be doing along those lines. Energy efficiency. We launched, when I was in office, a new initiative called LEAP, the Local Energy Alliance Program Partnership. And which set out to renovate our homes and businesses, and in partnership with the city's efforts to renovate our schools and municipal buildings to make them more energy efficient. So it's creating work, it's creating jobs, it's reducing our environmental footprint. It's helping us to do our small part to address broader issues of climate change. It's doing multiple things simultaneously that are making life better here in our community and beyond. And again, if to the extent to which we can capture some of that economic activity and the job creation that goes along with it, I think it benefits our people even
more. But as our president and 52 of our senators will tell you, climate change is not an issue.
Well, they're wrong, number one. And number two, even if you don't believe the science, which is overwhelmingly, you know, the science is very clear on this. Even if you don't believe the science, the reality is that by making our homes more energy efficient, you're saving residents money. You're saving, by making our businesses more energy efficient, you're saving those business owners money on utility bills. So even if you don't believe in the science of climate change, you're saving people money. You're creating jobs. You are cleaning the air. That's another, you know, when you have a fossil fuel economy, the air is dirtier. So, you know, there are tangible benefits to investing in a renewable energy economy and in a green energy economy
but we can now throw dirty coal dust in our streams.
Exactly. And how is that benefiting our environment or our people, Rick?
It's benefiting people who have
dirty coal dust.
People who have, money invested in coal dust companies.
Absolutely.
Dave Norris here from Equity and Progress in Charlottesville. EPIC, status quo is not good enough. You can find them at epicseville.org. Dave, you mentioned an upcoming meeting at the end of February.
February 27th, third floor of the downtown library, 6 o'clock. We're going to try to wrap it up by 7 because I think I'm not a basketball fan, but apparently there's a big basketball game, that UVA versus UNC game. I don't follow basketball.
What?
But so we're going to wrap it up. So anybody wants to go see
the
game.
You were doing so well in this show.
I'm a soccer guy. I like soccer. But 6 o'clock, the 27th, it's our second public forum. We'll have another one a couple weeks after that. This is all about getting people involved, whether they're going to run for themselves as candidates or support candidates and help make a positive change here in our community.
Again, the three core tenets of the platform: economic opportunity and quality of life, social and racial equity, and open, accountable government. You can go to the webpage, epicseville.org, all kinds of stuff. Fascinating material, especially with everything that's going on in the United States these days. And believe it or not, it's spreading out across the world.
It is. It is.
Get on with your life, folks. Read the news. Dave, thank you so much for coming on to the show.
Listen to the Wake Up Call every Sunday.
And you can now shop Nordstrom. Thanks, everybody.
This has been the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. The Wake Up Call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Production assistance and engineering from Sean McCord and Mike Friend. Be sure to join Rick next Sunday morning at 11 a.m. for the Wake Up Call, only on WPVC LP Charlottesville.